So yes, first part of our reading starts in chapter 10, starting verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. We'll drop down now to verse 12. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." We're now going to jump ahead to chapter 12. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times and half a time. When the power of the holy people has finally been broken, all these things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all of this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the end of time. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance.
Yes, and that final verse so perfectly captures that last verse that we just read, right? Daniel has to go on, and then he will rest until that day when the bridegroom comes, and then he will enter into that joy. Now, as we look for the last time in this series at the book of Daniel, I want to introduce it with a story from The Lord of the Rings, and I hope many of you know it, and otherwise that it still is a good story. But it's about Samwise Gamgee, that dear servant of Frodo, and his companion on that long journey towards destroying the ring in Mount Doom. And in that way, they try to prevent the whole Middle Earth from being swept over by evil and being in terror, and to end that war, really. And they had a very difficult journey. But this man, Sam Gamgee, he stayed faithful to the very end. He was a rock on which Frodo could lean and even carried him some part of the way. Sam didn't understand it all. He had never been that far from home, after all, but he trusted that this difficult road was the right one for him to go. And he also had that hope that amidst all that evil, that this was the way to see glory again, to have an end that was good and right, not an evil end. And so he continued, going on, faithful till the very end. And those three things are really what we're going to see in the passage tonight. He didn't understand it all, but he had hope that there was a glorious end. And he trusted that this was the right thing to do. He trusted that. So it's our final look then at the book of Daniel. And we see twice in the text, in verse 9 and in verse 13, that the angels tell Daniel to go his way. After he has had so much revelation, so much of this info about all these things that are going to happen in the future, he is told, well, you just go your way. You keep going on. And therefore, I've themed the message for tonight, stay faithful till the end. Stay faithful till the end. So, it really, complements our look at the book last week, where we thought about preparing for eternity, looking past this life towards what's to come. But now we see in the final verses of the book to keep going till we actually get there. So stay faithful till the end. Because these verses that we look at, verse 5 to 13 of chapter 12, they are like the epilogue, the conclusion to this vision, that vision that started in verse 10 as we started the reading as well. And last week we saw then in the end of chapter 11 and into verse 12, into chapter 12, that look at the future, helping us to prepare for eternity, that time will end, that there are only two possible destinations. We saw the way of the wise leading to everlasting life, but also the way of the wicked that leads to shame and everlasting contempt. That's in verse 2. And that gave us that great urge to keep walking the way of the wise, to not stop that. And therefore, let me ask you straight away now, before we go any further, are you walking that way by faith in Jesus? Have you turned to Him? Because much of what we're going to see tonight, it really only makes sense if you have done that. If you do indeed trust Jesus. Because if we think about keeping going in the Christian life, when things are so hard, and when there is persecution and opposition, you might think, why would you want to do that? Is that worth it at all? It sounds so strange, right? Well, unless and until you see that indeed Jesus is worth that. And that trusting Jesus makes all that opposition worth carrying and going through. Spencer said it this morning, the end of the Bible is so clear, Jesus wins. So you better be on the right side of history, on His side, not on the side of those wicked, of Satan, of those that enter into shame and everlasting contempt. Turn to Jesus. Ask Him to save you, even tonight, if that's not yet the case for you. So the content of the vision, all that Daniel was shown, ends in chapter 12 and verse 4 then. That's where we stopped last time. And so tonight we come then to the conclusion. And there are not just the conclusion to this vision, but really to the entire book. Because what we see here in these verses, and what therefore we are seeing tonight, is really a good summary of what we've seen in this whole series, of all the main things that we have learned from Daniel and from all that he has been through in the first six chapters and all that he has seen in the last six chapters. And therefore, I hope that as we go through tonight, that you think, well, this sounds familiar. I've heard this before. And that it reinforces what you've learned already. So that when you then read this book again in the coming months or years, that you remember this, God's kingdom lasts forever. And when you come to this book, God's kingdom lasts forever. And therefore, whatever goes on in this world, I don't need to worry or fear. God is in control. And I can and I must stay faithful, following God, serving His people, because I've got a glorious hope for the future. God's kingdom lasts forever. And so that's what we see again. God's kingdom lasts forever, and I get to be part of that. But as we do that then, staying faithful till the end, till we are there, first thing we see in this conclusion of the book is that we have to accept limited understanding. Accept limited understanding. Look with me again at verse 5 and 6, please. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, two more angels, one on this bank of the river, one on the other. Verse 6, one of them said to the man clothed in linen, remember that we saw introduced in chapter 10, and he was above the waters of the river, and the angel asks, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Daniel's heard so much of the terrifying things that are going to happen in the future. Of all those severe periods of persecution under that one evil king, Antiochus IV, that we have heard about in particular, but also under many like him who would come in the years after that Antiochus, all the way up to our day and on till the end of time. Climaxing with that final great opponent of God, that enemy of God's people, at the very end of time when Jesus comes back. So the angel then asks, how long? And it's really a very understandable question for everyone who goes through suffering, right? You wonder, in persecution or otherwise, whatever sort of suffering you go through, you think, how long, Lord? How long will this last? How long will this go on? How long till the end? The answer that Daniel gets seems so unsatisfying, really, so vague. Let's read from verse 7 onward. The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, by God, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. And then Daniel then says, I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome be of all this? Verse 9, he replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the end of time. We see that angel, he swears by God, by him who lives forever. And I think that's a very intriguing way to describe God. He doesn't just say, well, he swears by God. He says, by him who lives forever. And remember, the context is all these kingdoms that come and go, that don't last forever, that are fading away. So only this God, who in himself is eternal, always was, always will be, that is the sure foundation to build on. And that means that this, what Daniel hears here, is certain, it is true, it's definitely going to happen that way. This is how long. But I am comforted by Daniel's words, to be honest, in verse 8. He heard, but he didn't understand it either. Because we find these time references again, as we've seen in earlier chapters. Time, times, and half a time. And then down in verse 11 and 12, those numbers of days, 1,290 days, 1,335 days. And then I read the commentaries, and you see loads and loads of ideas that scholars have come up with. Well, what can this mean? Is this a literal time period somewhere in history? Is this symbolic? And I don't want to go into all the various options now. I don't think that's too helpful at this time. But what we do need to know is this. The time is specific. It has been determined. And also in the grand scheme of things, it is fairly brief. And that's the comfort that Daniel needs to get here. It's a limited time, numbered, set apart by God, and fairly brief. I think this should be, especially verse 8, it should be a warning against any view that of the end times that presents a very detailed timetable of everything that's going to happen. And people who just plan it all out and use these sorts of verses to create these schemes, I think that's not very helpful. It's speculative at best, but more often it's misleading or very distracting, let alone calculations about the day of Jesus' return. He himself made so clear it will come like a thief in the night. Unexpected, sudden. But this is then the first lesson we need to draw from these verses as we seek to stay faithful till the very end. And it's this, it is that we have to accept that our understanding of what is to come is so limited. We are not God and we don't know it all. And we should be content with that. I think we're so often inclined to want to have all the answers. And so how many people today around us say, well, I don't understand all of that. Science says this and that. Your God, your stories about the Bible, that I don't understand it. I brush it aside. But we can't understand everything, and certainly not when it comes to these grand things that will happen in the future. So we should be content with this limited understanding. But, and this is important, but this lack of complete understanding should not lead us to doubt or neglect. Instead, it should lead us to humility and trust and faithfulness. That we see that God is greater and that He is in control. And I don't need to be, I can't be in control, I can't know everything, and that should be okay. But please don't hear me say that we shouldn't make any mental effort to understand these things or to study other difficult passages. Because the Bible makes clear that we are to love God with our whole heart and our whole minds and our strength. And Paul wrote to Timothy, reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you an insight, understanding into all this. So we as Christians, we should be thinkers. We should study and meditate God's word and ponder it as best as we can. So please do study and do search. Be a good steward of the intellect that God has given you. But what this limited understanding means, though, is that we should know when to stop. We shouldn't go further than the Bible and go into speculating about things that we aren't meant to go, that we don't need to know. But at the same time, our faith must go beyond our understanding. We must say, okay, I don't understand this, but I'm going to trust God for it anyway, because He does know, and He has the understanding. And that was the call to Daniel as well, as we saw it and see then in verse 9. Because Daniel says, I don't understand it. And he asks again, what will the outcome be? And then in verse 9, the angel replies, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. And it's really the same. After some more revelation in verse 11 and 12, with those other numbers of days, again in verse 13, as for you, go your way. Till the end. Recently, our eldest daughter, 6-year-old, asks, why do the seas have tides? Low tide, high tide? How does that work? And you think, well, that's actually quite complicated. How can I explain that to a child? So my wife tried. I was away. She explained, and it was with gravity and with the moon and the way the water moves around the earth. So, well, bit of understanding perhaps. Well, then, okay, let's look it up on YouTube. We find a good kids video that tries to explain it. And so after she watched that, she said, well, I kind of understand, but not really. And my wife then said, well, that's okay, darling. You don't need to understand everything yet. And it's a similar picture, isn't it? It's okay, Daniel. You don't quite understand what I'm talking about now, but you don't need to. You know enough for your time. For your life, for your days. You go your way and be faithful in the things you understand, in your life, where you have been placed. God commands us to persevere then. To keep going, working, serving. Go labor on, spend and be spent, we sang. Go labor on, be faithful. Go on at the place where you find yourself. Even with limited understanding. Wherever you are, in the office or in the classroom, at home, go your way. Because, then, verse 12, blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end. It's what Jesus said in Mark 13. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Even if that takes those 45 more days than you thought it would be. Whatever those 45 days mean, but you keep going till the end, until the very end. Stay faithful, keep going. There's one more angle to this, though, because in verse 10 we find something intriguing. In the second half of verse 10, look at that last line. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. When the time comes, the wise, the people of God, you and me, we will understand. That's the nature of prophecy. We can look back, for example, at all those events in chapter 11 and see, yes, indeed, I understand it because I can see how it unfolded. When we look back at prophecy, we understand how it unfolds. So the point is this, these numbers of days for us, they are vague and we don't know what to do with it. But this verse says the wise will understand. When we are living in those days, we will be given understanding enough that we need to know at that time. So we can trust that we'll receive enough understanding when we do need it. At this time, we just don't know what exactly to make of these. Many people have tried and it remains at best guesswork. It will be clear when we need it, except limited understanding. Secondly, then, the way to stay faithful till the end is trusting God's good purposes. That's our second thought. Trust God's good purposes. I want to read a few lines from a song I love very much to you. It's from Andrew Peterson. It's called Always Good. He wrote that song on an album about the death of the Lord Jesus. And the words fit very well. Sort of halfway in the song, he says this. Well, it's so hard to know what you're doing. Why won't you tell it all plain? But you said you'd come back on the third day, and Peter missed it again and again. So maybe the answer surrounds us, but we don't have eyes to see that you're always good, always good. This heartache is moving me closer than joy ever could, and you're always good. My God, be near me. There's nowhere else to go. And Lord, if you can hear me, please help your child to know that you're always good, always good. As we try to believe what is not meant to be understood, will you help us to trust your intentions for us are still good? Because you laid down your life and you suffered like I never could. You're always good. You're always good. That's it right there. When Jesus hung on the cross, when he died to save those who believe in him, there God's love and his purpose were made so clear. It was the darkest day in all of world history. But it was in God's plan, says the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 4. God had decreed it that way. And so we need to trust God's good purposes. Will you help us to trust your intentions for us are still good because you laid down your life and suffered like I never could? You're always good. Even with that limited understanding, we can still keep going. We can still persevere. We can stay faithful till the very end if we trust God's good purposes. And that's what we've seen again and again in the book of Daniel. In his life, in the dreams, in the visions, God decrees all of world history. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He gives kings their power and he decrees the times when they rise and when they fall. And he sends his angels to protect. And in that plan then, very difficult times for God's people, including you and me, are included. And our understanding is limited. We don't always know what to do. And especially then, not just for puzzling verses in these chapters, but also for difficult times in our lives, especially then, we've got to just accept our limited understanding and trust God that his purposes are good. One of such difficult times we see in verse 7. It ends with an almost frightening, really, message if we forget that it is in God's plan. Because verse 7 ends this way. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. What it means is this, just before the end, right before Jesus comes back, it will be very, very difficult for Christians. It will look as if the church is almost wiped out, completely gone, pushed underground. All the power of God's people is shattered, scattered, broken. And perhaps this time comes when you and I are still alive. Could very well be. And with that pattern of waves of evil persecution like Antiochus, it Many Christians in many countries today could very well think, this is the time, this is the end. If your house is burned down, if you live in Nigeria or in India, and you follow Christ and your house is burned down, or you're beaten, or when your family tries to kill you, if you live in Somalia and you've come to follow Christ, or in Afghanistan, or when the government throws you into prison or a work camp, if you live in North Korea, for example. In those situations, it's hard to see how things could get worse. And they might very well think, this is the end. But it might not yet be the very end. It might be just one of those waves that, with increasing power, is coming. All those Antiochus-like figures opposing God. And when we look at the world around us today, and persecution indeed is increasing. You read the stories and you look at the data from Open Doors, for example. And shortly after Christmas then, in a few months' time, they will produce the new yearly watch list about the state of persecution around the world. And I think if we look at the trend of recent years, that things will get worse again. Will you and I be ready when this comes to the UK? Our society is growing more and more anti-Christian, anti-God. So maybe the next 10 years, will persecution come here? If we look at the last century of world history, see how quickly societies can change in just a few years' time. It could happen. And the question then is, where will be? Where will we be as Christians, as a church? Will we be ready? And will we stay faithful till the end, knowing that this is going to come? Are we preparing ourselves now, studying God's word, encouraging each other to keep going when that time comes? We can only do that when we trust God's good purposes, even for such terribly difficult days. Because if we believe that He is not just in control and powerful, but also that He is good and wise, that He is too good and too loving to err, that He has got a purpose even with those hardest of times, then indeed we can stay faithful till the end. And God has given us some reasons in the Bible, but not detailed explanations for why these specific trials come that we personally go through. At best, we can look back at our lives and recognize that it was a time where we indeed knew God was so close, and that we saw how God was shaping our character, our faith, strengthening us, refining us. But again, our understanding is so limited. Why exactly did I go through that illness? Why exactly had I to lose that loved one? Why was I so badly bullied or rejected at work or school? So often we don't know, but God could be very near in those times. That's often the testimony of Christians. Yet here again, at the end of Daniel, this lesson is emphasized to us. Trust God's good purposes. Look at verse 10 with me, please. Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined. But the wicked will continue to be wicked. That's what Daniel heard. Those trials, those terribly difficult times, they have a purpose. They refine us. They refine our faith. But it's important to note, those trials don't create faith. It's not, if you look at that image of refining, imagine a refiner's fire of someone who tries to make metal more pure. If you chuck in stones and a slag of a previous batch, don't expect gold to come out. You need to put in proper material with the pure metals in there to begin with, to then get them out after the refining process. The wicked will continue to be wicked. But these trials, they refine, they strengthen. If we have true faith, it is purified, refined through the trials. That's what Peter said, and as we read at the start of the service, in all of this, that hope of salvation, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Those trials and suffering, they refine our faith. It proves that it is genuine, and it brings glory to Jesus. Therefore, we can stay faithful. We can trust that our Heavenly Father has good purposes with all that we have to endure. Even when we would have to face that final terrible time at the end of history. He knows. He is in control. He has decreed it. And He has even given us an incredible hope that far outweighs everything that we have to suffer here on earth. And that's what Paul writes about in Romans 8. And I think it's good to turn there and read that now, leading us also to the final point in a moment that we should maintain that hope of glory. Romans chapter 8. If you use one of the Blue Church Bibles, you can find it on page 797. We start reading at verse 17. 797. Romans chapter 8. And look, as we won't read the whole thing, but just a few verses here. And Paul really emphasizes that good purpose of God in all that we go through and the hope that we have. So Romans 8, starting at verse 17. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we also may share in His glory. Verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And down at verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Verse 24, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Remember those lyrics in that song. How will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Third and final lesson then, as we stay faithful till the end, is that we should maintain this hope of glory. And we see it in verse 13, the very last verse of the book of Daniel. Beautiful conclusion to the book. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Remember, as a teenager, Daniel had been taken prisoner. He had been exiled, drawn away from his home country, brought to Babylon. And now, probably in his late 80s, he has served at the Babylonian court, the Persian court, for most of his life. And he has been through terrible opposition, even putting him in a den of lions to spend a night there. But he stayed faithful. He kept serving, witnessing, pointing to the living God. And now after all these amazing visions, all that he has seen, how should he keep living? He hadn't understood it all. But this is what the angel says. Go your way till the end. Keep doing what you're doing, Daniel. And when your end then comes, you will rest. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Death for the Christian is a rest. It's like sleeping. Because we will rise again. We will wake. And not just at the very end of time, as if our souls would be asleep for hundreds of years until then. Not at all, directly, after death. We will be with Jesus, as the thief on the cross said, today you will be with me in paradise. When we die as Christians, our bodies remain here on earth, buried or otherwise, but our souls are with Christ straight away. And our bodies will be reunited with our souls at that final day, and we will live with Christ forever. We'll be there with Him, awaiting that day that verse 2 speaks of in chapter 12. At that final day, verse 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. And then on that day of judgment, then we see what verse 13 says about Daniel, and that's true for you and me too. If you believe, if you live like him, if you stay faithful to Jesus till the very end, at the end of the day, it's verse 13, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. There will be a place ready for you and for me. An allotted inheritance, a reward. Remember what we read again from 1 Peter at the start. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are born again into this living hope, and we await that inheritance. Just like Daniel, it won't spoil, it won't fade. It is kept in heaven by God's power. Not just for a while, but all the way to the end. It will be ready. When you or I die, when Jesus comes back, our inheritance will be ready. And this is the hope we have, dear Christians. A hope that can't be broken. We don't see it yet, but it is certain. Christian hope isn't like, I hope it will be good weather tomorrow. It's not just uncertain or mere preference. No, our hope is certainty, which we don't see yet. And we must maintain that hope. Keep it strong. Make it more growing. What then is that allotted inheritance? Well, we saw something before in the end of chapter 7, where the Son of Man, Jesus, receives the everlasting kingdom. Remember, God's kingdom lasts forever. That was given to Jesus. And then in chapter 7, verse 27, we read this. Then, at that day, the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom, Christ's kingdom, will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey Him. Our inheritance is a beautiful place. It is a place in God's kingdom that lasts forever, where Jesus is King, and we will be with Him forever. So if we want to stay faithful in this world then, where we have limited understanding, but we know that terrible times of difficulty are coming. Actually, it's a world where we already go through so much suffering, right? Just as count as all the Christians around the world. But if we want to stay faithful, then we should remember not just that God has His good purposes, but also keep this focus on this incredible hope of glory. Let's think about it often. Let's make that hope very much alive in our minds and hearts. And then, as we finish this study of the book of Daniel, let's follow his example. Let's stay faithful in the midst of this broken world, knowing that God is in control. And when kingdoms rise and fall, terrible seasons come and go, we have this certainty, this certain hope, God's kingdom lasts forever. And we can be part of that kingdom through faith in Jesus, because He laid down His life and suffered like I never could. And that's worth everything. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You have given us so much in the Lord Jesus, and we want to thank You for that. We want to thank you for that hope, for your word that is sure and certain. Please help us, Lord, to accept that our understanding is so limited. Help us to trust that you have your good purposes, even if we can't see them yet. Help us to stay faithful till the very end, Lord, knowing that you have that inheritance ready for us. And what a great hope that is. Lord, help us in the places where we will find ourselves this coming week, in our jobs, at school, in our homes, with neighbors and family. Lord, help us to be faithful, serving you, helping others, bringing you glory in all that we do, in all that we say, how we act, how we think. Help us to glorify you and long for that day when Jesus will come back. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.